You're listening to Well Met.
Well Met.
A Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com.
Well Met.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode number 114 of Well Met. We are a Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com. Today is Monday, July 3rd, 2017, from Studio 5 in Denver, Colorado. I'm John Horstman. With me, of course, is the crew. First, let's head on over to sunny somewhere on the East Coast. I don't know exactly where it is. With our high legend expert, Ray Kilobanaladi. Hey, Ray.
Racy.
There we go.
That makes it a lot easier. I know it's hard for you to remember words, so that's why I abbreviate it. Makes it easier for all you guys. But what's up, John? How are you doing?
I was doing pretty good until your first sentence was just wrecking me. Jeez.
I'm sorry.
But you're not, but hey, it's good to see you, man.
It is. I'm glad to be here. Coming off of a high legend finish, so I'm pretty excited about that. Getting really close to prelims, just going to do well in an Open Cup this month or at DreamHack Atlanta, and I'm good to go for summer.
Nice. So, well, congrats. I know later on in the meta segment, we're going to talk a little bit about what you've been doing on the ladder at the end of the month and what you're going to be doing at the beginning of the month, but before we even jump into that, let's say hi to our Kansas City Royals fan. The first time I've ever seen you not wear a Kansas City Royals hat, J.R. Cook. Hey, J.R.
Hey, John. I've worn this one a couple times. This is where I went to college, Northwest Missouri State. Go Bearcats, I guess. But no.
Wow, that was the most enthusiastic college call I've ever heard.
It's been a while since I've been in college. I'm pretty old, guys. I barely remember anymore. So that's why I got to have this hat so I can remember the good old days.
Yeah, I feel you. Well, hey, guys, welcome both of you. It's been a while since we've had this crew together, so it should be a nice and fun one. Before we jump into the news, we always like to talk about what we did this week as well as any housekeeping that we might have going on. We do have a couple of things for housekeeping. First, we have over 140 members in our Well Met Discord community. Come join us. We're sharing deck lists, talking about everything going on in Hearthstone. It's been a lot of fun. That was a dab. If you heard that static in the microphone, that was Ray's forearm running against his microphone, dabbing.
Yeah, can we ban dabbing, by the way?
Literally just dabbing. Anyways,
not,
go ahead.
Dab for Discord.
Anyways, head on over to discord.me/wellmetpodcast. Of course, the link is in the notes. We'd love to get to know you. There's lots of people who are teaming up, finishing quests together, playing together. A lot of spectating buddies. Hey, I'm learning this new deck. Someone want to spectate me? It's been a lot of fun. That's first. Second, JR and I are going to tell you about our game night that we did this last Friday because Ray just ditched. I'm just kidding. You're not wrong. We sillily, so partially our fault, we decided to have the Well Met game night on the last day of the season for Hearthstone. We didn't even think about that because when it comes to, you know, we're fairly good players, but we don't stay up until midnight grinding Hearthstone ladder and doing Watchstone. You know, we take it easy usually, maybe watch other streams. And so Ray is like, well, I totally forgot. We're grinding the legend ladder. I'm like, yep, that makes sense. We should have done better, but we still had a blast. We played Quiplash the whole night. We drank responsibly, of course, but it was just a really good time getting to kind of get to know other listeners in the community. We all met in Discord voice. And so there was a lot of jokes being thrown almost exclusively,
John,
almost exclusively at me for some reason. Apparently I'm just the person people default to want to make fun of. And I'm okay with that, I suppose. But anyways, it was a lot of fun. You should definitely come out for the next one. We're not going to do it at the end of the month this month. It's probably going to be in the second or third week of July. Stay tuned. We'll let you know as we solidify the exact date and time for that. But it was a lot of fun, wasn't it, JR?
Yeah, I had a blast. That was the first time I ever played that game, Quiplash. And I really enjoyed it. It kind of reminds me of a cleaner version of Cards Against Humanity, except more fun because you can kind of play it online and things like that. So
it depends who you're playing with, JR.
That's true. We kept it mostly. No, it wasn't PG rated. I'm sorry, but we tried.
Pretty PG-13. It was something where, you know, it wasn't Deadpool, but it was still a pretty good superhero movie kind of thing. You know, PG-13, right? Skirting the line there. A lot of fun. So definitely come hang out with us. And of course, we post all the dates and stuff. We'll go on Patreon, our Twitter, and it'll be in the show notes as well, as long as we schedule it in enough time in advance. So that, I think, is all we had for housekeeping. Let's talk about our weeks this week. Ray, let's have you go first, man. What have you been up to this week besides grinding and grinding and grinding?
Well, I mean, I haven't done so much of that this week, but last week, definitely. I stayed up pretty late at the end of the last season. Got to rank 12 the day before the last day, and that was able to hold for a top 50 pretty easily. I finished about rank 28 when I went to bed. So,
all right, you can stay on the show. You can stay on. That's fine.
Yeah,
not kicking off Ray yet.
Oh, thank you, John. I appreciate it. But if I ever don't finish top 100, you just feel free to, you know, give me the good old boot.
We'll make you write show notes or something as punishment.
Yeah. So I'm in a pretty good position for the summer championships now. All I have to do is do well in one Open Cup, which I think is going to be pretty easy to do. I mean, they're every day for the whole month, so I think I can manage to do well in at least one of them.
Cool. Congrats, man. Just grind that out. We need to see you at BlizzCon this year, all right? Make it happen, please.
I mean, I'm doing my best. I'm doing my best.
What about you, JR? I know you've had a pretty busy week this last week. So what's up?
Much like Ray, I also finished around rank 12. Oh, wait, he meant legend rank 12. I'm sorry. Just rank 12 is where I finished.
They're basically the same thing.
Yeah, I didn't play a lot of... I didn't just play a lot of ladder last month. Even though I played a lot of Hearthstone, I didn't play a lot of standard ladder. I did play Wild a good chunk of last month, but I think I only got to like 14 or so on that. Just playing a lot of THL lately, which is the Team Hearth League thing that we've been in. And it was kind of the last few weeks of the season. So we've been kind of practicing for that. And our team name, Prep Coin Concede, ended up getting a spot in the playoffs. So that starts this week. So pretty excited about that, playing some Team League Hearthstone there. And this month, I'm actually already like higher rank than I was last month. Played a little bit this weekend. I'm already up to like rank 10. So
nice.
What
was that?
What'd you play, John?
What did
Oh my God. I'm just kidding. I don't care about John. I meant JR.
Whoa.
I mean, I've been playing your deck, Ray, the deck that you sent us.
The deck that shall not be named.
I feel like you should talk about the Dragon Druid deck.
Oh baby.
Because I don't feel like, even though that got me to rank 10, I'm like, you're the master of it.
I'll post the list in the Discord if anybody who's listening wants to join.
It's pretty good for a Ray masterpiece. We need to come up with a clever Ray name for it.
I don't have any. I'm not so clever.
I'm gonna think of one throughout the show. By the end of the show, we're gonna have a clever name for Ray's Dragon Druid list. But and we are gonna talk.
I'll probably post the deck list on Blizz Pro sometime this week too, if people want to look for it. And, it is a really fun deck to play, and it's actually pretty powerful, especially in Sagro.
I want to talk about the deck. Let's do that during the meta part so that we can like
yep.
dive in and talk about it in the whole expanse of the meta. But that's cool, man. I watched a little bit of your super secret stream with that list and it looked pretty OP.
Whoa.
So,
oh, did you just talk about the secret stream, John?
What secret stream?
That's what I thought, John.
Okay. Well, before I get punched, let's go into the news.
This week in Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft.
Oh yeah, I hit rank 5 last month, so woo, yay, go me. So played really skillful and slow decks. I promise I did. So anyways, before we do jump into the news, we do want to thank our well-met legends, The Real Ben and Corel. Thank you so much for your support of the show. If you like Well Met, like what you're hearing, want to support it even more so we can bring on better guests, give out more prizes, make our show sound better, all that stuff, head on over to Well Met or patreon.com/wellmetpodcast. Find out how you can get involved. Wish Danny was here from this one because he would be pretty excited. So we got a lot of new big pieces of news this week. First, Wild packs are returning to Hearthstone for a maybe limited time, question mark? Help? I don't know. JR, what's going on there?
Yeah, so they announced, Blizzard announced just out of the blue that they're going to be bringing back all of the old sets and adventure modes you can buy. They won't be available, though, in the in-game store on within Hearthstone. You actually have to go over to the Blizzard store on you know the internet of things over there and buy them that way, which leads me to believe that they'll only be purchasable by money instead of by gold. But I haven't seen Blizzard confirm that one way or the other.
I saw a link somewhere. Seems like I saw a link somewhere, and I wanna go into. Some keep talking,
but yeah, the limited time thing. There's been some sites that are saying that it's a limited time. But if you go to the official announcement, it actually doesn't say anything about it being limited, other than it's coming soon. So I'm curious to where that verbiage came from. It might have come from a press release we didn't see or something to that effect. But I personally haven't seen anything other than. Non-Blizzard websites say that it's for a limited time. So it may or may not be at this point. I haven't been able to confirm that.
Yeah, there's a few kind of missing details here that we're just kind of waiting to hear out. We do know for sure that they will be available for purchase, and we know it'll be coming in the coming weeks. That's what we know for sure. So I guess that's what we will just have to see. Ray, do you need any classic packs to fill out your collection? Or are you doing all right?
I'm doing all right, John. Thank you.
All right. Good. Just making sure you're doing good, man. I know sometimes you can just fall behind, start playing Overwatch or Pokemon again, and just quit doing your quests.
I'm curious to how many people might be upset about Blizzard bringing this back. Like they have, because it seemed like Wild for at one point was something they abandoned. And now they're, you know, kind of bringing it back. And I even remember, like, someone had said this in Discord, and I had completely forgotten about this, about an old show that we did where Kevin was talking about dusting his old Wild stuff because it didn't seem like Blizzard cared about it anymore. And now that they're pushing Wild some more, if those people that did that, like Kevin, might be a little upset.
I mean, you have to assume that they're going to do something with Wild at some point. So I don't feel bad for any of those people who did that. It's inevitable, right? Like, they have the format there. They're eventually going to do something with it. If you dusted your stuff, I mean, honestly, the Wild tournament wasn't for HCT. It was its own separate thing. So I wouldn't be that upset if you dusted all your stuff. I mean, it sucks that you couldn't play in the Wild tournament. Because you couldn't try to get top 64 on ladder, and it sucks that you might not be able to do future heroic tavern brawls if you dusted all your Wild stuff. But you had to have seen it coming at some point, and in all reality, it's not the biggest deal, at least in my opinion. The big stuff is more the HCT type things. Even the prize pool, honestly, wasn't that big for this tournament.
I guess, you know, so I feel like, well, I would understand, let's say that all of a sudden Blizzard came out today and it was like, oh yeah, by the way, we're not going to do anything for Wild or whatever, you know, and you dusted all your packs and they went back and they're like, oh, now we're doing something for Wild. I could get why people would be upset, but anyone who dusted their Wild stuff, I feel like had to have known and assessed the risk before this stuff came out. They might still be upset, like, darn, I wish I didn't do that. But I can't find a way to fault Blizzard on this one. Believe it or not, my my inner Reddit troll is just out of excuses at this point. But it, you know.
No, I completely agree with you guys on that. I was just bringing it up because I know that I have seen people complain about it a little bit.
Yeah.
And I feel like their opinions are valid to an extent, but it's one of those things where you know, I wanted to keep my Wild stuff anyway because I wanted to play with it. So I never saw a reason to ever dust it.
I think people will find a way to complain about everything that Blizzard does at this point from looking at Reddit and literally anything they do. There's always a valid argument for some point of view that this like X person will have. Whether like they could give us free packs and people might complain.
They did. They gave us a free card and people found a way to like get really ticked about it. It's like, you got a free card. What more do you want? Wow, that was
puberty. Is that actually a thing?
Was that? Yeah, I'll send you some links. Yeah, it was nuts.
Oh, I was talking about the puberty.
Oh, puberty? Yes. Too. Yes, it is. Anyways, thanks, Ray. So that's going on. Wild packs coming in the coming weeks.
Maybe.
Well, anyways, we also had a pretty big Q&A with Ben Brode and Mike Donay this past Friday, not to be overshadowed by the big Q&A that we have coming up this Friday as well, July 6th. I believe it's 11 a.m. again, right? Right, JR? Did I get that right?
I think it's later in the day, actually.
Well, you might be right. I think it's, yeah, it's 7 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. Sorry about that. So in the Q&A, they teased the announcement of the next expansion. So good old Blizzard getting those extra bouts of communication in. Before we go through and dive into this whole Q&A, they did say that the next expansion is going to be revealed next week. And
July 6th.
For that,
2 days.
We're excited, feeling good. Very excited for a really loud clapping sounder to finish right now. And in that blog, they did give us one kind of little teaser. So we've gotten two image teasers for this next expansion. The first was when they announced the Year of the Mammoth, right? Mammoth is this year? Yeah, it's Mammoth this year.
Yeah.
They showed that there's going to be three expansions. The first one was on Goro and had a little leaf art. The second one had some like runic symbols, look kind of like spellcastery. And then the last one has a pack of gold in there. So the last expansion is just going to be free gold for everybody. So we've got that first image. Now we have the second image. If you're watching in the video, it's on the stream now. If you're not watching the video, you're listening it at home. It is in the show notes, but let me paint you a word picture. So it's the kind of like stained glass window of the front of the inn for the Hearthstone Inn. And on the inside, you can vaguely see some silhouettes of different, presumably characters that have something to do with this next expansion. Naturally, the sleuths on forums and Reddit and Twitter have all gone and tried to cut out character models from like Wowhead and paste them into here. And there's a lot of really great speculation here, but I need to ask you guys, does this mean anything more to you? You have any healthy guesses on what this next expansion could be, its theme, based on these couple pictures and other things we're hearing?
I've been thinking for quite a while on this, ever since like that initial Year of the Mammoth thing, that it seemed very arcane in nature, like magic and things like that. And one of the most magical places in World of Warcraft is Dalaran. And I really feel like this next expansion could be similar to kind of like the Mean Streets of Gadgetzan, where there it's going to be more centered around Dalaran in this case, and the magic around that. And that's kind of, and I don't know what these figures are, and I didn't get a chance to see the speculation that people might have come up with on what those characters are. To me, like, I don't even know what they are. They could be like brand new characters like we saw with Mean Streets of Gadgetzan and League of Explorers, because Hearthstone seems to kind of go in that direction where they are kind of making their own lore. So these might be like all new characters that we might see. Although one of them to me looks like it could be Reno in a way. In my opinion, we might see Dino Jackson show up.
Get out of here. The good old Get Dino. Out of here right now.
I mean, the third one's the gold symbol, yeah, though, right? This is, yeah, only the second one.
Yeah, that's true.
We're not getting rich for a little bit. Yeah, we're getting rich maybe like 3 or 4 months down the road, but I don't know about next week.
Yeah, to me, I mean, JR, kind of what you, I was wondering if we might see like a Kirin Tor expansion, something about the Kirin Tor that's very closely tied to Dalaran. The only issue I have with all these like speculation on that type of stuff is it seems so close to One Night in Karazhan, because the Kirin Tor do tie pretty close to Karazhan, and that kind of spell and magic-y thing, like maybe it's a little bit too close. There are also some pretty convincing photoshops out there that put like the Lich King in here in different mobs from Ice Crown Citadel right on top of those things. That's pretty impressive as well. So even though
this is called Return of the Lich King, I'm just going to quit the podcast.
So here's the thing. I was thinking about this, right? And I mean, we've never been wrong on this show. When it comes to speculation,
never.
We're really good at this.
Okay? 100%. I know 100% math.
Win rate. Rank one legend NA when it comes to speculating. But
I've never misplayed in my life.
All we did say, okay, before you naysayers get out there, let me educate you for a second. Just kidding. We're backpedaling. All we did talk about was the fact that there was no significant proof that that trademark was by Blizzard, and there was no link back to sources. So that's all we really ended up saying.
That's true. I still don't think it exists.
But, hey, that could be the next one. Ray, do you have any lucky guesses up your sleeve on what we might be seeing here for the next expansion?
You know, John, I don't really pay attention to the World of Warcraft lore. I'm not a huge WoW buff. It's actually kind of the opposite. I've never played the game in my life.
Been too busy catching them all. I get it.
Yeah, I don't even have the Paladin skin, actually, that you get for getting level 20. I was considering getting it at one point. Then I realized that like playing World of Warcraft and getting to level 20 probably takes at least 15 minutes. And I don't have that kind of attention span. So
that's why I only play Zagro.
Yeah, I couldn't do it. So I have no idea. But somebody in the chat said the leftmost guy kind of looks like a Chilma, which I could see it.
It definitely looks like a wing of sorts. Whether that's like one of those, they have these like little fell bats and stuff. Like there's a lot of little different winged creatures in World of Warcraft. So like I feel like that could be just about anything. On the far right, there's looks like another little, almost like a Ravaging Ghoul a little bit in the far right. Mm-hmm.
So I think it looks like a little goblin or something.
Right, yeah, but like something kind of hunched over and yeah.
Yeah, I feel you, John.
But like I don't have anything that ties it directly back to anything directly in World of Warcraft, so.
And I don't even know what that would be.
Just Ray guessing.
I don't know, the one on the right seems like a Murloc to me.
Hmm. I guess we'll have to find out, yeah.
All right. We'll place your bets.
Place your bets. You'll know this time next week what it's all about. So that should be pretty fun. What was we doing next? Oh, yeah. So that's what we know about the next expansion. Here's another thing we know, that we will have missions that tell the story of the expansions and that they will be free to all players. That's pretty big news there. That Jared, that has to be Dave Kosak's work, you think, huh?
Yeah, that's Dave Kosak. That's what they said also, like at the when they announced Return or Year of the Mammoth, that the second expansion would begin the story mode in a way, and then they'll be doing that every expansion since to make up for the adventure modes being gone.
Right. So I mean that's kind of cool. I know we all at least in the past have had soft spots in our hearts for that one player content that you could just do kind of fun little puzzles, get those heroic card backs, especially Ray. It's his favorite thing to do. Give him those puzzles. He would never touch the ladder. And, you know, but like it's a cool thing that they're going to be implementing. And I've said it for a long time. It should have been implemented from day one that we always have story content whenever we get a new expansion, even if it's not your thing. And this way makes it seemingly more optional. Although I wonder if you'll get some free cards or something or some free packs for completing those missions.
I mean, I think it's pretty cool to have like lore surrounding it. I always find it kind of interesting. I actually did go to see the World of Warcraft movie. I know like that kind of people don't like it or do like it or whatever their opinions are on it. Like, it was kind of cool knowing some of the characters just from playing Hearthstone. You could be like, oh, that's Gul'dan or something. And just knowing the lore was really interesting to me, or part of it, just from playing the game. So if they give lore in the expansions, I'm still going to be interested in it because I find stories that are good, generally worth my time.
You should play WoW, dude. You want to roll a WoW account? We can do this.
I already kind of don't leave my room that often. If I played World of Warcraft, I think I'd just be a vegetable at this point. I just think I would die on my chair.
Got it. Well, fine. Keep Hearthstoning away then. Keep doing that. What else do we got here? So, more of the Un'Goro Q&A stuff. They did say that quests met their expectations, but the underperforming ones can be improved with new cards. Ray, do you believe them?
I mean, sure. Anything is possible.
Purify became a good card. Anything is possible.
That was never that bad. People are just dumb.
You heard it here first from Ray C. People are just dumb. But it was overblown, right? Like,
yeah,
it was,
yeah.
And it was during a time when Priest was the worst class. It's like Warlock getting three new cards and one of them being absolutely unplayable for the next 3 months.
Like their quest.
Like, yeah, exactly. Exactly like the Warlock quest. So we will see that there. I mean, how did you guys think that quest did? Do you think quests ultimately felt pretty good this expansion? Anything you think needs to be changed there? I know a lot of people are accounting for like counters to quests specifically. Do you think we'll ever get a card like that?
I mean, Papa Blizzard just threw in the Nerf Hammer, so we already know what they think about certain quests, but I think we're going to get to that one later.
Yep.
I think quests were always meant to be fun and not exactly super overpowered. And that can be kind of be seen that there were only two quests that were really good, and one of them's getting nerfed.
Right.
But on the flip side of that, what I'm disappointed in with the quest system is that they were legendaries. I understand why they had to be, because you can only have one in a deck, but they could have just made quest one in a deck. Whereas I feel like those nine cards that quest could have been different legendaries that I would have rather had in this set rather than some of the quests. On the flip side of that, though, I like they're fun. They're fun to play. They're fun to mess around with. They may not be, you know, competitively viable, but we talked about that on the show that like the only one that we thought I think that could have been competitively viable was potentially the warrior one, and it ended up being no one I think saw the rogue one.
I did go back check the tapes. I was all over the rogue one. Sorry, that just hit me in a tendon or something where I just like, hey. I called Quest Rogue. I made a correct prediction on this show one time in the last 2.5 years.
Congratulations, Sean. I'll give you a cookie next time I see you.
Okay.
You know what they say about the sun and a dog?
I don't actually have any idea what they say.
Is this World of Warcraft lore? I'm sorry. I'm lost.
I think this is a dad joke.
No, I'm not going to repeat it because it's actually not PG. So.
Okay.
Oh.
All right, moving on then. We'll have to see what they do with quests later on. By the way, I'm not going to tease it. I'm going to tell you what it is. We're going to discuss it later. The Caverns Below is being nerfed. So now the rogue quest triggers after 5 of the same card gets played in a game instead of 4. So makes it 20% harder to do. Or it's, yeah, yeah. You got to do it. Got to play another one. So. We're going to talk about that in a bit, but I just didn't want you to like stop and think, wait, they buffed, they changed it. You pause the podcast, pull over on the side of the road, start Googling stuff. That's what it is. Okay. All right. Another stuff that we've got going on here. We do have more arena balancing in patch 8.4, focusing on class balance, and they're being more focused on balancing the classes through small pull chance changes. So that's pretty interesting. They're taking a little bit more active approach to balancing arena through your chances to get certain cards. I believe Vicious Fledgling was one of those cards that was just ridiculous in arena. And so, you know, getting those cards out of there and less, you know, something, a lot of weapons that they've also tuned differently as well. So we've got that from the Q&A. What else did we get from the Q&A? JR, anything stick out to you here?
I think the biggest thing to me, honestly, was that not only the next expansion, but the fact that it's going to be releasing in August. I don't think we touched on that piece. I don't remember if we did or not, to be honest, but I wanted to bring that up. I think that was the biggest piece of the Q&A, and as Ben Brode kind of, and this leads into something else where Ben Brode kind of talks into recapping the Q&A. I was going to go somewhere with this and I completely lost my train of thought, John.
I don't know. I was busy telling somebody that you do have tendons near your heart. So...
the whole Ben Brode recapping on the Q&A and talking about like the Q&A. I remember my thought now. The Q&A was meant to be more of talking about their design decisions and giving some more insight on what's kind of going on behind the scenes and why they're making the decisions in the way that they are, rather than revealing like new things or saying, yeah, that's a problem. We're going to fix it tomorrow and things like that. It's more meant to as a communication tool. And I think people need to really remember that when it comes to these Q&As.
Right. Well, I mean, in the end, and this is something I really like, and, you know, we're a Hearthstone podcast. We take an hour and a half out of our week every week just to discuss Hearthstone. And a big part of that is not the new announcements. It's the philosophy behind the game itself, and having more developer communication around those different philosophies helps us be able to have more invigorating and interesting conversations, helps players and spectators understand more the design goals of the game. I think something that I've found more and more, and our Discord really has kind of opened my eyes to a lot of the different perspectives of players that we have, because unless somebody tweets at the show or at myself, I don't always get to hear kind of the feedback of what people think about certain changes or this type of player that plays Hearthstone pretty specifically. If you're not one of my friends, who most of my Hearthstone friends are real life friends, super casual, or other content creators. And then so I either have those people, like we miss entire segments of players, and we have really great conversations going on in the Discord all the time of like, this is how I play the game, and this is how this has positively or negatively affected my experience. I think it's really cool. But there's always that piece of, there's so much speculating on Blizzard's design philosophy sometimes that it can make it, it makes an argument out of something that should be nothing. If Blizzard just went out and said, hey, too many people were getting Quest Rogue out and it was uninteractive, it's all we needed to hear. But instead, you know, sometimes we're left to guess and feelings get hurt. Ray cries. Sounds like a sheep when he cries.
That was a bad sheep impersonation.
That was a really bad sheep.
Are sheep's the bad ones? I don't know. I wasn't really good at that thing when I was a baby.
Do sheep's go by new show titles? I don't know. Do sheep's go bah? That's our show title for the week. So thanks,
Ray. They're the black and white ones, right? With the udders.
Okay, John. Just breathe for a moment. But Ray, what did you think, man? What did you think about the Q&A, Ben Brode's recap of the Q&A, and kind of setting those expectations of, we're going to let you know when it's announcement communication. We're going to let you know when it's just a conversation communication.
I appreciate that they are communicating, because I come from a game where there is no communication at all. Pokemon is, the competitive side of it is run solely from Japan, and there's like not really any communication between the players or anything like that. There's no such thing as people complaining on Reddit and that having any influence on any type of decision whatsoever. The game could just be completely busted and it would never change. So it's kind of nice to see that they are trying, at least, even if they're not doing it necessarily perfectly. I don't expect that, because it's still a relatively new game, right? Magic's been out for, what, like 20 years or something like that? And they're probably not even getting it perfect yet. So you have to assume that there's going to be some hiccups, but they're trying. So
imperfect's really subjective, too, you know?
Everybody's
definitely varies. Like, some people want to know, like, they want to be, if they're not in the design meetings for Hearthstone, it's not perfect. And you have other people who are just like, just give me the expansions, bro. I'm grinding out. I'm 28th NA. So.
I mean, at this rate, I think the game is not as bad as people think it is, because the good players are still doing well, and everybody just overreacts, and I think people just need to chill and enjoy the game.
Enjoy the game. Put on your favorite podcast. Go back, listen to like episode, start at like episode 15, okay? Skip the first 15 episodes of this show. Holy crap. But after that, go ahead, you know, just relax a little bit. Yeah. One last thing I wanted to hit on this Q&A, then we'll keep going here because we've got a lot to talk about, is Ben Brode asks us, the community, for one thing. He says, focus on the why as well as the what when recapping, and to understand when the team's communication is the announcement of changes to the game or discussions about philosophy like in the Q&A on Friday. They said they're going to come out and say, you know, we're going to discuss Un'Goro meta, and they don't announce something. Just don't complain that they didn't announce something. How many cards could they have designed during this Q&A if they didn't do it? Man, if I ever see that person in real life, they're going to get a swift elbow to the jaw. I swear.
You won't do it, John. It was me, John. Let's go.
All right. Next time I see you, just boom, right at the piano bar like we were at last time. But this is honestly kind of on us and kind of directly, you know, sent to us too, because we do our best on Well Met to recap these things. We can't go. I mean, if we take word for word the entire Q&A, it's going to take almost 2 hours. And so we do it. We have to shorten stuff. We have to take what we think are the meat and potatoes of that. And we have to be very careful with that. And he was talking about meat. Don't say meat and potatoes around Ray, apparently. Wow. But he did say, where was it? There was something in here where he was like, people were transcribing, you know, shorthand.
Yeah. So the
question, and they transcribed it as Q, Jade Druid question mark, answer, watching it. When in actuality, Mike Donay, like, said an entire paragraph about what it is. And sure, in summation, it's watching it, but it was a lot more philosophical. I want to read the whole thing now, but I just encourage you to go back, listen to or watch the developer Q&A in full.
A lot of this comes from people who will read these transcriptions, these brief little things, and then say, oh, that's just Blizzard with their PR talk. When there was actually a lot of insight and discussion within that answer, rather than just we're watching it. When we're watching it is just simply PR talk. But when there's more than that, you can't just come back and say, well, that's just PR talk. You know, that's just we're watching it. And that's just a phrase that developers use. That's not what it was.
Right. Yeah, and it's kind of unfair to those guys who, if you've met anyone from Blizzard and you've met a dev and got to have a real conversation with them. I know JR, you've had many. I've had a few. I haven't had many. But there's not like, it's not like developers and successful people have this tenacious not wanting to speak transparently about their products and their games. Like, these guys think of it as art. They really do. And they are. They're artists in what they're doing. And if you've ever talked to an artist about their art, they won't shut up about it sometimes. Sorry. Anyways, you know, that's kind of thing. I mean, it's true. So, you know, cut them some slack. They genuinely want to have conversations with the community. And sometimes they can't.
And they can only say so much. Like, in this case, they can only tell the reasons behind the discussions that they're having. They can't tell you, oh, you know, in the next 2 weeks, we're going to do something about it, because they might still be having those discussions, and those discussions might change the direction that they're going to go. And that's a lot of the reason why, like, developers won't just come out and give you a straight answer that this is cut and dry. It's going to happen in 2 weeks, unless that decision is set in stone right that minute.
I mean, they're not obligated to either, so. Yeah. People make mountains out of molehills.
Yeah, it's true. All right, well, that's going to do it for the developer Q&A. There was a ton of information, but it was a lot of design philosophy answers and stuff that would make for a great strategy segment down the road, but not something you really want to hear us recap really quickly here in the news segment of the show. Before we move on to the meta and close out with an email, Ray, we had the Hearthstone Wild Open this weekend. What happened there?
Well, something really cool actually happened during the Wild Open. The finalists were both Wild specialists. It was Control, and the person who won was, I believe, it was Alb, the Italian, who owned a pub and stuff. That was kind of his story. He was a real life person, you know. He's like one of those people that had a wife and owned a restaurant and adulted and stuff.
Just
yeah, it was pretty cool.
That's cool.
And they were both playing similar lists. The Aggro Shaman appeared to be the best thing. It got banned like almost every single series that I watched. Token Druid was played almost every single series. Pirate Warriors played almost every single series. And then it was either some type of combo priest or a paladin deck was mainly what I was getting from that. So the format seemed like it was not as diverse as you would think. It seemed a little bit more solved, at least to the upper tier players, because Control and Alb, I believe they're specifically just wild players. They don't play standard. All the standard players kind of bombed out at some point or another. Some of them made it. Like LVGE is a really good foreign player. I can't remember if he's Chinese or Japanese. I know him from standard. He made top 8 and did all right. But the wild specialist came in and just dominated the tournament. So it was really cool to see that the format has enough skill in it, that the people who actually spend the most time playing the format were the ones that saw the most success.
Yeah, that was cool. I didn't get to, I had it on a second screen the whole time. So I was keeping an eye on it and trying my best to like watch, especially the top 8. But it was also Overwatch Contenders this weekend, which is really fun to watch. And, you know, Danny, go ahead. What?
I was going to say the wild tournament was really fun to watch too. Honestly, the production value was I was pleasantly surprised at how well that tournament was run and the analysis that they were able to do for people who don't play wild.
It didn't feel like a poor man's standard tournament, which I think some people in the back of their mind had the expectation that because we don't have wild tournaments going on all year round and stuff, that they can't meet it with the same type of fanfare, casting talent, and production value that they do for their HCT events. But it was awesome. It was really well done. Changed the decks to standard decks, and you would never have known it wasn't HCT, which I think was great. And it's also just a great kind of reward and recognition to that that wild community, and getting to know Danny over the past month and a half, and all the work that he does for that community and what that community is like has been eye-opening to me, because they do so much and they love their format so much. And it's just great to see Blizzard really recognize it. Huge congratulations to Alb and Control and everybody else who participated and did well. I mean, it was still a live finals, right? So the whole thing was live.
Yeah, the set was actually really cool. It was kind of woodsy, I would say. That's the word I'll use. No, it was like wood. I don't know if maybe ungoro-y is the word for it, but like it was wild. Yeah, there we go. Got him.
It was
wild.
All right.
Especially Frodan's blazer. Oh, baby.
Dude, come on. Just every time they get a little bit more crazy, and every time I'm like, stop it, Frodan. Stop it. He won't stop it, and he shouldn't stop it, but, you know, stop it. Anyways, okay, let's jump into the meta really quick. And what I really wanted to talk to, Ray, is I just really wanted to talk to you about what your end of season experience was like grinding that top 100, what you were up to, and kind of what you're up to this season in grinding out to Legend.
I actually had a really easy time getting up to high ranks this season. I kind of didn't play as much as I normally do. And when I did play, I was very focused, and I think I played better because I didn't play when I was not feeling it. I would say my win percentage was around 75-80% if I look back at the deck tracker. And when I just wasn't feeling like playing, I just didn't play. I did not play when I felt like crap. I didn't play when I was kind of on tilt. I just was very conservative with when I actually played my games. And when I did play, I got lucky enough to find a lot of success and the day before the last season, or the day before last season, the day before the season ended, I got to rank 12, and that was able to hold. I didn't have to play on the last day, actually. I got to rank 12 with a combination of Aggro Druid and Taunt Warrior, and a little bit of a Dragon Druid. But Ooh. On the last day, shoot, I was helping him out, trying to get a top 100. He ended up finishing 200 because he got sniped a lot, ironically, because people knew he was queuing Dragon Druid or towards the final few hours because he kept playing people who were getting spectated by Drissan on the Watchstone. So everybody who was around like 200-ish was like just jamming Questro trying to queue into Shoop. It was really sad.
Oh, that sucks.
But, I mean, that's what happened. So we kind of had to switch it up, and we ended up just barely out of top 100, which was really sad, but I mean, it happens. I was fortunate enough to do my climbing the day before, so I didn't have to worry too much
right
on the last day itself. But the jumps this season were almost non-existent. I kind of usually, I would say, fall. It's a lot closer. I've been top 10 the day before the season ends and didn't even finish top 50. Like, I would get around, I would drop out of top 50. One season I actually finished 51 because I wasn't sure if I had to queue or not. I was like around 48 or 49. And I was around rank 10 the day before. And when the season ended, because a lot of people do rogue queues, on my screen it was 48 or 49, but I actually finished 51. It was really sad because I needed a top 50 to secure it for that month. But this month it didn't, it just didn't move, which means people didn't play.
12 to 28, right?
Yeah, which is not a lot of nothing. Movement in a day.
16 movements. That's not a lot at all.
It's not too much considering it's the last day. If it was before the last day, you don't move at all. You move like one or two ranks a day if you're that high. But on the last day, generally, you move a lot.
Right.
And this season, there weren't big jumps, which means people weren't playing, which just means everybody was trying to secure their points. Next month, the first month and the last month are always really crazy with the jumps. Like sometimes you'll go from like 50 to like top 10 in one win, but this time it was like 50 to like 45, and then like you just wouldn't move too much. Yeah,
well, hey man, congrats on another awesome season. And then you just said you just had to do well in a open cup, and you're about set.
Yeah, I just have to do well in an open cup or finish on ladder again or do well at Dream. I just have to do one more thing pretty much. And then I'm set for summer championships and I get another crack at making top 8 again or top 4. Yeah. Top 4 is to go to championships.
Nice. Well, congrats. Do it. Do it. So you can wear that well met patch or hat or something. Just kidding. All right.
TM.
So we wanted to have a little bit of a discussion about the Caverns Below. That's what it's called, right? The Caverns Below. I'm not just being crazy right now. The quest rogue quest nerf that we have going on. So we're going to take a few minutes, discuss that, get to an email, get out of here. So JR, this new quest rogue nerf to the quest, going from 4 to 5 of the same card. Big deal? Do you think it's a big deal?
Yeah, it's absolutely a big deal because right now, like the you're seeing Quest Rogue potentially go off on turn 4 with prep, you know, be able to do it, or turn 3 or so, be able to do it, get its quest up within turn five, and at that point it's just concede because there's nothing you're going to be able to do, because the only way that you can beat Quest Rogue is basically to beat them down before they're able to pop off their quest. By moving it to 5 creatures, it makes it a lot tougher for the rogue to bounce creatures back, because now you need you basically need an extra bounce back mechanic. And when you're only running like Shadow Step and then the two bouncy guys, the Brewmaster and for some reason I can't remember the other one, the 2-3 guy. The fairy guy.
Fairy man. Gadget man.
Yeah.
Fairy gadget man.
The Gadget Fairy Sandman.
Yes, thing.
Gadgets and Ferryman. Okay.
Or running the elemental package with the Igneous Elemental and getting the extra 1-2 guys. It's just going to be, it's going to take them longer to do that. So you have more time to beat them down, basically. I don't think the Quest Rogue is going to be as successful as it has been. And it's already not been a hugely successful deck in regards to win rates. When you're looking at basically a 50% win rate with the deck itself. But the deck itself had a place in the meta where it kind of controlled how the meta was shaping. And I think that's going to be the bigger change between everything. It's not so much that Quest Rogue will be slightly worse, but that it'll introduce, I think, potentially new decks that will end up being better because Quest Rogue won't be as good and won't have that effect on the meta as much anymore.
Are you ready for 3-hour long control mirror series, JR? I'm ready.
I'm
very ready.
No.
I'm so excited to sit there for hours playing a mirror. Oh, you don't even know. I'm so excited. My opponents will fall asleep and I'll win. They won't be able to take it.
I can't tell if you're memeing 100%.
Oh, no, 50%. I'm not memeing at all. I actually am a control player. I don't play aggro that much, honestly. And overall, like if you see me in tournaments, what I've done well with is generally stuff like Reno Lock, Control Warrior. I lean towards more control based lineups than I do aggro lineups. I just find more success with those types of decks. And I feel like there's more room to play better than your opponent, even though sometimes that's not necessarily true, especially with things like Quest Warrior or something. But say in a Mage Mirror, if your opponent doesn't get like 4 different ice blocks from Primordial Glyph and random effects, like sometimes skill can matter and knowing what you have to do actually matters. So I get excited for control metas, but a lot of people hate them because it's slow and kind of boring, but I enjoy that stuff. The Control Warrior mirror back in the day was by far my favorite matchup to play ever, and most people just hated it. So,
do you think this change is big enough though to push Quest Warrior or Quest Rogue out of the meta and let control kind of take over?
Yeah. Quest Rogue was just barely, beating control. Like Quest Warrior kind of got close to winning anyways. It was around 50-50 already if they played Dirty Rats. And now that it's going to be harder for them to complete the quest, like sometimes they're just not able to anymore with 5. Like if you get a Dirty Rat and you just pull out one of their bouncers or something, or you just stop their quest, like there's this chance they just might not be able to ever finish it again. And with Mage, sometimes you're just 1 or 2 turns away from burning them out. And now you might get those 1 or 2 turns. So yeah. I think it's going to push the deck out of the metagame, and Jade Druid, you can just ban it in tournaments. So we're going to start seeing a more control-based metagame until the new expansion comes out. And one thing I actually want to mention is that one of the reasons that they could have been nerfing the Caverns from Below is to open up design space for future one drops or 2 drops that might be way too good with the quest.
Yeah, especially within Wild itself. I mean, that deck could be, pitches would be very, very good down the road. But I wonder, Ray, do you think this affects the tournament meta way more than the ladder meta? Because I feel like the ladder meta, like it'll change the ladder meta. Like you probably won't see Quest Rogue as much, but I don't think you're going to see a huge, huge difference on the ladder. Whereas in the tournaments, I think it does change it quite a bit. And I was just wondering if you agreed with that or not.
I think ladder was fine. I think the meta was already fine. I didn't really think it was a huge issue to me. I didn't even see that much Quest Rogue, honestly. And if I did, it didn't seem like a huge, like, oh my god, I'm losing every single game to Quest Rogue. I mean, the deck seemed a little bit overpowered to me, but I don't know if it was nerf worthy. I guess it was, because, obviously they did it, so...
Well,
I don't think
They did say that first they will nerf cards based on how they perform in the tournament meta or how they form the tournament meta. They also did say that anytime a card has a level of uninteractivity with it, it's kind of always a candidate for a nerf. Like it to me, it feels like it might be twofold. I think first they were looking at the tournament meta. I would say threefold. Tournament meta and seeing, wow, this deck is kind of always here. Second, every time I hear complaints about Quest Rogue, it's always somebody, honestly, usually ranked 10 to 20. So newer, less experienced players or players who just, you know, don't climb up that high. It's a very oppressive deck to those types of players. And there, that should be a consideration in a lot of cases, because I believe rank 12 to 15 is about 50% of all players in Hearthstone. Yeah.
So, I mean, the deck was arguably the most skill-based deck in the whole metagame. So I know people probably will like be like, oh, no, you just get double shadow step when you just win. There's no thinking in that. But the majority of the games where you don't get that, it's actually a very skill-based deck. And a lot of the pro players were actually really sad to see the nerf because it was arguably the most skill-based deck, just kind of like how Patron was arguably the most skill-based deck when it was around.
Right. So I think that was it. And then I think the third consideration was exactly what you said, Ray. It could really limit design space on cheap cards, bounce back effects, and other cards that could synergize really well with Quest Rogue. And so I don't know. I'm still not sold that on the ladder it'll be totally pushed out. But I'm also not that good at the game, so I'll just.
The meme streamers are going to be playing Quest Rogue now. That's what Kibler's going to play next.
That's what they're going to be doing.
Yeah.
Cool.
I don't think Kibler's ever going to play Quest Rogue again.
I have no idea.
To be honest. No, there's a clip of him being very, very angry, and that's the first time I've ever seen Kibler angry by playing against Quest Rogue.
Yeah.
So I don't think he'll ever play it.
Yeah, fair enough. Any last thoughts on Quest Rogue before we put a cap on this?
Good. It happened. I'm excited for the new meta. I'm excited for the new set announcement. And I don't think it's as big of a deal as people think, because the new set's probably going to change everything anyways. So, yeah.
So overall positive changes for you both?
I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
Cool.
Good.
All right.
Gucci.
Awesome. Well, let's jump into the mail and we'll get out of here.
We've got mail.
Man, that's such an intense sounder. Holy crap. Anyways, we did get one email this week from Benjamin M. It says, I've been a long time listener of the podcast and understand the rock, paper, scissors aspect of the game. These referencing to a few weeks ago when we talked about control beating aggro beating mid-range being beating control, that type of rock, paper, scissors thing. He goes, my question is this. Is there a particular class you dread queuing into as another class? So are there, on the whole, are there specific classes that directly counter classes? Or how does that really work, Ray?
I mean, if I'm queuing up some good old Quest Rogue and I queue into a Pirate Warrior, I'm not going to be so happy. If I'm queuing up Freeze Mage, I'm not going to be happy to queue into a Warrior, or more specifically, a Control-based Warrior. And if I'm queuing a Control Warrior or Quest Warrior and I queue into Jade Druid, again, not going to be a happy camper.
Rip.
Still going to win anyways, but I'm not going to be happy about it.
Sure, because you're... Freaking Ray C, what it is. So I think the big differentiating thing here, and Ray, correct me if I'm wrong, that as a general rule, there are certain classes that do better against others. He, in the email, I had to pare it down for length, but in the email he talked about, feels like priest generally beats hunter was something that he felt. And there's been things at the time, like druid generally beats warrior, but that was back when there was only, you know, one or two druid archetypes and one or two warrior archetypes. I think really thinking of it more down based on the archetype rather than the class will help solidify those rules. For example, you have pirate warrior and you have quest warrior. They're two pretty different decks with, as I understand it, pretty different matchups. Sometimes completely contrasting matchups. Same thing when I remember back in the day when you used to have mech mage and freeze mage, even more contrasting archetypes where you'd have two archetypes where, you know, control warrior as mech mage, you might do pretty well against, but control warrior against freeze mage, you're not going to be doing very well against. So those types of things, am I getting that right and thinking more along the archetype versus class?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, this isn't Pokemon. Like, warrior isn't resistant to mage, and mage isn't gonna be super effective against hunter. That's not really how it works. It's more archetype-based. So, you think that way because generally when you think of druid, a lot of the times you're thinking of, like, big dudes, and when you think of control or warrior, you're thinking control warrior. Maybe not nowadays since a pyro warrior, but, like, in general, before people kind of, like, think of it more. An archetype kind of
comes to mind for the whole class.
But that's not the case. It's not as clean cut as that. It's archetype based, not class based.
I think the only class that I kind of dread queuing up against is rogue. And the reason for that is simply because it's been for so long, it's been Miracle Rogue. Like, that's the primary rogue deck since the beginning of time. It feels like. So when you're coming up against Rogue, you're like, oh, here comes Miracle Rogue. Here comes the Gadgetzan Auctioneer and all of this other junk that I just don't enjoy playing against. That's something that, and now you've got Quest Rogue added to that where you're just like, oh man, this sucks. But Rogue's been one of those classes that it's always kind of felt that way. And I don't think it's necessarily archetype in that direction. It's just Rogue always feels like it's always been joined with being a Miracle Rogue style. That's just me.
I mean, Aggro Rogue was a thing for a while. That was like a legitimate tournament deck.
Pirate
like
Muzz-
Rogue. Like recently, like Muzzy Rogue. There was a whole era where everybody brought that for prelims. They brought the aggro lineup, the Muzzy lineup, and it did really well. And Dr. J actually won championships with an aggro-based rogue deck. So I guess it's more your personal experience with an archetype where maybe you don't see that type of diversity.
I mean, okay, so Hearthstone has been out for, what, 3.5 years at this point? And I would say a vast majority of the percentage of time I've queued up against Rogue has been a Miracle style of Rogue and not any other. So that's right. Kind of where I'm coming from with that.
That makes sense.
I think every class has always had a few shining moments of someone coming up with a totally totally different archetype than anything that's been brought to that class before. I think of Jackie Chan when he first introduced like egg token druid stuff, and we saw that stuff for a while, and that's actually one that stayed. You know, there's always been a lot, and like JR, I see what you're saying. It's like if you take a look at the top rogue archetype over the span of Hearthstone, number one for 95% of it is going to be some form of Miracle Rogue. Same thing with like mage. About outside of mech mage, like it's all freeze mage. Control warrior, the same thing until you had patron warrior, and now you have pirate and taunt warrior.
Dragon warrior for a while.
Dragon warrior, yeah, that's right. I remember that.
I think there's an underlying archetype that is always there, and that's what you think of when you think of the class. Like, you think of Miracle because Miracle's been there 24/7. You think of Control Warrior because it's been there 24/7. Same with Freeze Mage. It's been there forever. So I get what you mean when you say that. Like, you queue up against a class and you're just like, this, like, it immediately makes you think of their underlying archetype that's just been around forever.
Well, those are usually dictated by their class spells and class specific cards.
Yeah, the classic cards, right?
And so, because those never change, it also makes sense that those kind of remain fundamental from expansion to expansion.
I would like to see them do something really interesting where they go and put cards that are core cards of a class into the Hall of Fame and add different type of stuff, because now that you mentioned that, it does seem like a lot of the classes kind of feel like they've been the same forever.
Right. Well, and they did say
the core cards.
They did say in the Q&A that about 50% of every deck is out of basic and classic cards.
That's because that's where all the good spells are. And you need a lot of good spells to build your deck.
Well, and that's also where, like, class identity is. And so when you have good spells that are also class identity, and I think this is one of the big reasons why we saw when Standard was initially introduced, I remember Brian Kibler and Trump specifically were two advocates for a rotating Evergreen set. So yeah, something I'm that changed. That I know, well. Yeah, JR, you spoke for it as well. And that kind of starts getting, I mean, that's a whole new can of worms that we won't be able to get to this week. But, like, that's a really interesting conversation to have is, you know, on one side, I can already see free-to-play and budget players. I can hear them screaming in my eardrums at the thought of classic and basic cards rotating and being not playable, even if they rotate back in. Like, I can hear that and it hurts. Stop. But at the same time, we're talking about the long-term health of a game from the broad perspective and not just...
Well, what if we got new basic cards, like, and they were free, like the old basic cards? You just had to, you know, kind of battle the innkeeper a little bit more.
That could be something. I don't know.
Or it could be something where they bring back old cards and make them bring back some Curse of Naxxramas cards or things like that and put them into an Evergreen set. And maybe that's one of the things that they're testing out by bringing back these wild packs that we talked about earlier in the show.
I would love to see set packs too.
I would too.
Especially if they went to like a rotating Evergreen set, you know, for a certain amount of gold or dust per card, you can actually purchase whatever's left of that active Evergreen set. And so,
yeah, like a Year of the Mammoth pack,
right?
Or something like that,
right? Or just to be able to do the set almost like you bought Adventures. Imagine, you know, and this is just for like the core Evergreen part, not the expansion part. But let's say next year we have Year of the Eldorian and it's going to be these certain classic cards will be a part of it. The rest won't. Being able to get like all those classic cards for a set price, you know, probably be around like $40 to $50. But then that way you can just focus on fleshing that out from.
And Lotheb comes back.
With that note, we got to get out of here, guys. This was a fun show. Good job.
Continue the discussion in the Discord.
Dang, where's that at, Ray?
John, this is your... I know it's Well Met, but I don't know the link.
Discord.me/WellMetPodcast. Hang out in our Discord.
There you go.
It's fun. There you go. Ben, thanks for your email again. Again, if you have any thoughts, questions, comments you'd like for us to discuss on the show, head on over to... or send us an email to WellMet@BlizzPro.com. Patreon this week, we do want to welcome two new patrons, Eric L. and Steve R. Thank you for your support. And of course, want to thank our Well-Met legends, The Real Ben and Carell. Thank you so much for your support of the show. If you want to support the show, head over to patreon.com/WellMetPodcast. Find out how you can get involved. JR, what do we have going on in iTunes land this week?
Yeah, so this week on iTunes, we did have a 5-star review in the U.S. From our good friend Kun JZR. I don't know how to pronounce that one. That one throws me a little bit for a loop.
Thank you for making that hard to pronounce.
Yeah.
Highlights of my week.
But thanks so much for that 5-star review. If you'd like to leave a review on the show, just open up iTunes, do a search for Hearthstone. You will within the podcast section, you will find Well Met there. Leave a nice little 5-star review, and I will badly mispronounce your name just like I did today.
Nice. Well, thank you again so much for your 5-star review. Let's do shout outs for the week and where people can find you, Ray.
All right. Shout outs to my Twitter, PG_RayC. I'd say my Twitch, but you know,
that's secret.
Doesn't happen. It's a secret. Yeah. You'll have to figure that one out.
Okay. It's twitch.tv/RayC591. That was a secret. Nobody else heard that.
As long as they don't tell it to everybody. Okay.
As long as they know it's a secret. So yeah, go hang out with Ray there. JR, what about you? Shout outs for the week, and where can people find you?
People can find me on Twitter over at Eldorian. And I don't have any shout outs, but I do have a question, quick question for Ray. Ray, what does a sheep sound like?
Moo, I think.
Close. You're close.
All right.
I quit this.
Okay, John, just go.
I'm done.
I'm done.
I'm done with this.
Quack. Quack. They go quack.
Oh, my God.
Got him.
As for me,
yeah, nailed it.
Shout outs to everybody who stopped by my stream this week. I'm a Twitch affiliate, and then we got sub buttons this week, and so you can now subscribe to me on Twitch, get a couple of awesome kicked tripod emotes, got your own rooms in my Discord, and yeah, it's just been awesome, whether you're just hanging out or you're a sub or whatever. Also, shout out to Pirate Poots, who literally within 12 hours turned around my emotes so I could submit them to Twitch. And so they got submitted, and they look awesome. There's a little spam going on in Twitch chat right now with the different ones. They're really cool. So head on over to twitch.tv/kicktripod, twitter.com/kicktripod, or just go to kicktripod.com. Check out my blog. I got a new mouse today, and I think I'm going to do a little kind of review on it, because I've owned enough mice that I'm starting to get knowledgeable enough about them to where I can speak to them a little bit more. So do that. And I also,
you can actually speak to the mice.
Hello, mouse. Can you please tell me the secret?
We're answer also accepting applications for new Well Met co-hosts. Preferably
you're going into a mental institute for speaking to mouses.
Yes, maybe.
Maybe you can have the mouse be a co-host.
The other thing is if you are an aspiring podcaster or live streamer, I actually wrote a long post on reddit.com/r/twitch about the microphone myth. It's pretty interesting. It's right at the top. It's got like 300 upvotes. It's like my most upvoted Reddit thread of all time. I was pretty proud of it, but just talks about different microphones and different things that you might need to make your podcast or live stream sound great. So you can head over there as well. But yeah, that's going to do it for us. Thanks for joining us for episode 114 of Well Met. We record live Sundays, 7 p.m. Pacific at twitch.tv/BlizzPro. We'll see you guys next time. Thank you so much. Have an awesome week and an awesome 4th.